And as Jeremiah was trying to warn his people in Judah and Jerusalem, and they would not listen, and they had false pastors, false priests, false kings, false leaders who said, it's okay, everything's fine, it's never going to happen. We have the same today. So I want you to realize it's just as relevant. We find ourselves in chapter 4 of Jeremiah. As he's warning Judah. Now the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north, we know has already been, is going to be and has been wiped out by the Assyrians. And God stops the invasion into the southern kingdom, Judah, with Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes to the south. And they turned to the Lord for a while. They repented for a while. And then they went back to all their worshiping false gods and going back to their immoralities and all these things. And God says, you know what? Enough is enough. 721, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom. 586 will be the conquering of the southern kingdom. Why can't we learn our lessons? Why don't we realize as the United States of America in God, that is the Christian God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust? He has never let us down. We cannot say our God is like all the other gods of all the other religions because he's not. Those are false gods. Pastor, that's not politically correct. I know. And we can't keep living in immorality because God's going to judge our immoral ways. And so there's a call to repentance, and this is what Jeremiah is going to share. Let's get to chapter 4. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness. I've titled this particular chapter. Listen to what the Lord says through Jeremiah. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear, the Lord lives. Now listen. In truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, in God, and in him they shall glory. He says, if you just return to me, man, get right with me, come back to me. Come back to me, America. Come back to me, Hawaii. Instead, we promote all kinds of immoralities. We promote the abortions. We promote the homosexuality. We promote all types of adultery and sex outside of marriage. We promote it. It's promoted on TV and radio and in the schools, all over our society, on the internet. It is constantly bombarded, and people follow all this stuff, and they won't turn from it. He says, return to me. Come back. You've gone astray. Come back to me. At one time, you lived for me, you walked with me, you loved me, but now you've left me. It is a tragic thing that people will leave the truth of God's word. Jesus prayed in John 17:17. He said, Father, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. You know those people that live lives that are completely sinful, and yet they call themselves Christians? Come back to the truth. Well, I'm a homosexual Christian. I'm a lesbian Christian, whatever. It doesn't work that way, my friend. Listen, I don't hate you. You live how you want. I'm just trying to get you to heaven. The Bible says we have to repent of heterosexual sins, homosexual sins. We have to repent. That means you turn to God and you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And in doing that, you then follow exactly what he says in the book, because this is his word, his love letter to you. And they say, well, I'm a good person. I do all these good things. I love God. No, if you don't repent of a sinful way, then you don't love God. You're your own God. You make up your own rules. You live for yourself. Now, who's God? But I know that you love God when you repent, you turn from sinful ways and you turn to the ways of God. No, a man cannot marry a man. No, a woman cannot marry a woman. No, If you're born a man, you're a man. If you're born a woman, you're a woman. There's no such thing in God's kingdom as transgenders. Now listen, I say this out of love because this is a great deception of Satan, and young people are being brainwashed on a daily basis through the media and also through our government. And I'm trying to tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie. God made you a special way. If you're a man, you're to be married to a woman. If you fight homosexual tendencies, you fight against it, like a heterosexual fights against his tendencies towards fornication or adultery or anything else. We are weak in the flesh. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless you repent of your sins and you follow the word of God. That's what we're called to do. And God says, return to me. Return to truth. I made you as male and female. And that's what marriage is all about. Return to me. Return to my judgments. If you don't turn to me, you're going to face judgment. He also says, return to righteousness. Do what is right. Do what is right. Righteousness. Do what is right. If you get pregnant out of wedlock, man, or in wedlock for that matter, don't get an abortion. People would say, well, you can't afford the child. You can't do this. You can't. No, you can do anything when you turn to God. There's nothing impossible for our God. You're going to be blessed, and God's going to love you, and you're going to cherish that little baby, and it's going to be awesome. Don't fall for the lies of the devil, because it'll hurt yourself. It's going to hurt others. It's going to hurt and kill that precious baby. Now, listen, we've been inundated with this lie of abortion since 1973. And I know many women, 60 million abortions and beyond, have taken place in America. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're here to heal you. We're here to help you. We want you to know the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. We want you to know that your baby's in heaven. God takes our sins and he turns it around for his glory. But let's stop the slaughter of babies. Stop it. Stop it, America. Stop it. Enough. Let's do what is right according to God. And as a church, we want to reach homosexuals. I've been at their deathbed. I've been at the deathbed of one dying with AIDS who repented of his sins and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. God wants all people to be saved. Return to me, he says, in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. And he says, the nation shall bless themselves in him. God will bless the nation that lives for righteousness' sake. Amen. Oh, America, please, let's turn. Let's turn. You know what? Man, oh, man, these are critical days we're living in. And in him they shall glory. Give glory to God. You know what? I've been watching what's going on with our new president and the things that he's not a perfect guy by any means. But you know what? I've been noticing things going on amongst people that he chooses, especially his vice president, Mike Pence. Godly men. First one to ever go to a pro-life rally. I can't believe that. After all these years, since 1973, the very first of that highest caliber to ever go to the pro-life march in Washington, D.C. God bless him. God bless him. We need to pray for all that are in authority. Yes, even those that we don't agree with. We're going to pray for their salvation. Amen. For thus says the Lord, verse 3, to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. So you see where he's ministering. To the men of Judah, that southern kingdom. It's Judah and Benjamin. They're what's left now of Israel. Thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Get rid of your hardened hearts against me. Break it up, man. And he says, do not sow amongst thorns. Don't let the wilderness of this world, the thorns of the world, choke you out. Remember, Jesus gave the parable of the sower, and he says that the cares and riches of this world is like those thorns, the weeds, that choke out the word of God. So be careful. Be careful when you become successful. Make sure that you realize all things have been given to you by God, and always give him the glory. It's okay to be successful, But don't let the success take you down. Become your God. He says, that for thus says the Lord, men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because the evil of your doings. See, the Jewish people, the men, you know, they're saying, well, I'm circumcised, so I'm saved. That's like saying I was baptized when I was 8, so I'm saved. Well, I don't know if you're saved or not. Are you living for Christ? If you're living for Christ, I'd say you're saved. If you're not living for Christ, I think you took a bath. Okay? Some people say, you know, I got saved when I was young, I got baptized, but then I backslid, I went away from the Lord. Now I've given my heart back to Christ, and now it's real. It's real. I go, great, great. And they'd say, should I get baptized again? I got baptized. Yeah, get baptized again. You go for it, man. Because testify to the world you're saved. Amen. Amen. The baptism doesn't save you. It just testifies that you are saved, that you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, man. You come out of the water in the newness of life. Testify. Tell the world. And they were dependent on this circumcision. God says, hey, circumcise your hearts. Get that flesh out of your life, man. God instituted circumcision for the Jews as a sign that they were his people. And it was also for hygiene, for health purposes. And so God wanted to protect them and provide for them. He says in verse 5, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard towards Zion, that is Jerusalem. Take refuge, do not delay, for I'll bring disaster from the north and great destruction. Who's coming from the north? Babylon. Our guys, we're familiar with Iraq, yeah? Military? Yeah, man, you became real familiar with Iraq now. It's no doubt about it. We got things going on in Mosul right now and so forth. Yeah, the Babylonian Empire, powerful, powerful empire. Its symbol was a lion with wings because they were powerful and they were swift. King of the jungle, man. They just wiped everybody out as they approached. And God says, I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. The lion, he says in verse 7, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make our land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. In other words, he's calling the people to repentance. Remember John the Baptist? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus started his public ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, started to preach the first gospel message, he said, repent, man, and be converted. Repent. You turn from unbelief to belief. You turn from living for sin to living for the Savior. Amen. That's repentance. And so here Jeremiah is declaring, as God speaks to him and through him, look, you guys just return to me, get right with me, repent. But you know what? It's sad. The people won't listen. You know, today people have heard about the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ and the great tribulation period and the mark of the beast. And they kind of go, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been hearing about that since my grandma. Yeah, whatever, you know. I got a life to live. Okay, it's coming. I'm just telling you, it's coming. Everything in the Bible has always come true. And this tribulation period of the book of Revelation is going to come to pass. Everything is being set up right now. Everything. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, earthquakes, famines, false Christ, false prophets, false teachers, false religious systems. Israel became a nation once again. The parable of the fig tree, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. It's all coming together, man. The revived Roman Empire right now, oh, they're going through a shakeup right now. But I guarantee you, once the rapture takes place, they're going to be so united, it's going to be unbelievable. And then they'll take America and they'll join forces with the EU. The globalist will all unite together, and then will rise the Antichrist. The earth has already been divided into 10 federations. It's there. We can fight against it, but it's there right now. It is the global agenda. And the Bible says that's what's going to happen in the last days. There'll be 10 federations united together. We talked about it this morning, Revelation chapter 12. He says, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord is turned back from us. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish. The heart of the princes, the priests, shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem. Does God deceive people? No. What he's saying is there's a feeling amongst the people, the prophets, the priests, the king, everything's going to be cool. No worries. It's all right. Everything's going to be fine. God will take care of us. But the problem is they won't repent of their sins. Because they won't repent, judgment is coming. The only way to thwart judgment is to repent of your sins and get right with God. That's how we thwart judgment. Our America is divided right now. Thank goodness there's a lot of good Christians in America. Not perfect Christians. There's no perfect Christian, only one perfect Christ. Okay? But we turn to God, we pray for the nation, and we try to live for the Lord and do a lot of good works in our nation. And I believe that is because, by that, God has not judged our nation. Oh, we have our problems, our issues, our skirmishes, our financial difficulties. It's going to get worse unless more would repent and turn to the Lord. We pretty much know which way we're going as you look at the elections. Are we going to vote for a party that has some standard of righteousness? I'm not saying it's great. Or vote for a party that's completely sold out to ungodliness and immoral ways. One who's going to promote homosexuality and all kinds of sins and abortion? Or ones who are going to say, no, we believe in pro-life and we believe in traditional marriage and so forth. You see, it's real simple. I've got myself in trouble so many times when I talk politics. Pastor, you shouldn't talk politics. Jeremiah talks politics. Ezekiel talks politics. Jesus talks politics. Herod, you fox. He scorned the religious leaders of his day. Read Matthew 23 with I think it's 7 woes that he sends forth against the religious leaders of his day. Now look, I take no pleasure in it. It's just a matter of fact. I'm not trying to exalt myself. I'm just saying, it's just a matter of fact where we're at as a nation. I've been around for a while, at least 30 years. I've seen a lot of stuff. And I tell you, we're not headed in the right direction. And we can just say, well, it's the last days. Yeah, it's the last days. There's no doubt about it. Do I just throw in the towel? No, God says fight the good fight of faith. Jesus teaches us to move forward as salt and light. Call people to repentance. There could be one more revival throughout America. Amen? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Like Jonah going to Nineveh? All of a sudden these wicked, vile people all repent? God, Jonah says, why'd you send me there? Well, because there's 120,000 babies I didn't want to destroy. You love babies, don't you, God? Yep. Okay. You see, here's Jeremiah preaching this message, and God's speaking to him and through him. And then it says in verse 11, at that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the desolate heights blows in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan or to cleanse. A wind too strong for these will come for me. Now I will also speak judgment against them. Behold, he shall come up like clouds, and his chariots like a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are plundered. In other words, it will be swift, their judgment. They're taking over Judah and Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. O America, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. Pretty easy to put that with us, amen? O Hawaii, wash your heart from wickedness, so that you might be saved. I've asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you in the book of Revelation, it says when the judgment comes that the islands will flee, they will no longer exist. The whole topography of planet Earth is going to be radically changed. The Bible says there will be massive, massive earthquakes across the planet. And then the islands will flee away. I don't think there's going to be a Hawaii in the millennial kingdom. I think it's going to be gone. Because he says the islands will flee. They'll be done away with. Mountain ranges will be leveled. Because the earth is going to twist, it's going to turn, it's going to be shaken like it was in the days of Noah. Tremendous ripping apart of the planet as these explosive fountains came from the depths of the earth. It's going to happen again. Volcanoes erupting across the planet. The whole earth becomes darkened from these eruptions. The sun cannot be seen. People don't get it. With every earthquake I hear about, it reminds me. With a tsunami, it reminds me. The book of Revelation. This is but a taste. The day is coming. And you can't stop it. Climate change, folks, you can't stop this one. You need to start a new movement. It's called global change because it's going to be tremendous. Read about the things that are going to take place in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19. Tremendous events. So I pray for we, these islands of Hawaii, that all would be saved before it's too late. You can't force someone to salvation, though, can you? The day is coming. The Bible says then, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? For a voice declares from Dan and proclaims affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make mention to the nations, yes, proclaim against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country. And raise their voice against the cities of Judah, that is from Babylon. Like keepers of a field, they are against her all around because she has been rebellious against me, says the Lord. Your ways and your doings have procured these things for you. This is your wickedness because it is bitter, because it reaches to your heart. Oh, my soul, I am pained in my heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered and my curtains in a moment. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? The standard, the flag bearer and so forth. It's going to be gone, holding the banner of Israel. The blowing of the trumpet is going to be silenced. For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I think about this. Now think about this for a moment, will you? Hey, see if you can join me with this. I think about these things. My people have become foolish. They're like silly children. They have no understanding. Think about this. How many years have they been propagating the fairy tale, the lie of evolution upon generations of children? My people have become foolish. You have evolved from a monkey. Really? Where's the missing links? Find one somewhere, someplace, some archaeological discovery. Find one missing link. You think there'd be multitudes, millions of these missing links, and they can't find one to this day. And they've been propagating this foolishness, this stupidity, this lie, this fairy tale of evolution upon our children for years and years and years, and they still do it. They are fools. This is why we have Christian education. You have been made in the image of God. Live like a man or a woman of God. Live according to His love. Live according to His life. Live according to His light, which is righteousness. Elevate your life as God will elevate you. Don't live like an animal. Amen? And yet we keep propagating this stupidity upon our children with these little graphic charts that people have made freehand, you know, and then they get animation and everything else. It's ridiculous. I'm done. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth, and I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. Verse 26, I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by His fierce anger. He's talking about the judgment that's going to come upon them. It's going to make that earth without form and void because they're going to be so destroyed. It'll make your cities and everything else like a wilderness. They're going to come in and they're going to burn down your cities, man. This is not going to be pleasant. They're going to burn down your cities. They're going to take you away captive. They're going to haul you off to the far regions of the Babylonian Empire. You're going to be their slaves, and there's going to be a mass slaughter of people. For thus says the Lord, verse 27, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken, I have purposed and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up on the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man shall dwell in it. What was God saying? God's saying, all my hands of protection are now going to be removed because you have slapped my hands away. You've slapped them away for other gods. You've slapped them away for all your immoralities. The Bible says our sins separated us from God. And God forbid that we as America would slap away the hand, the protective hands, the provisional hands of God given to us by our founding fathers of this great nation, the United States of America. In God we trust. Amen. One nation under God. Amen. You see, let's maintain that. Folks, you have to fight for it. You have to maintain this in your heart, your soul, and in your families, in your communities. How many times hear something said about, you can't have this flag here, you can't do this, you can't salute, you can't pray. Baloney. I'm a Christian. I love God. My founding fathers gave me the First Amendment. The freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the free exercise thereof. Don't tell me what I cannot do. I have the Bill of Rights. I will do it because it is my right as an American citizen. You see? But do not let people bully you, override you, disdain you. Stand strong, stand tall, and don't give up and don't give in. We find here, for thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, verse 27. I will make it a full end, for this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken, I have purposed and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. The whole city will flee from the noise of the horsemen, the bowmen. They shall go into the thickets to climb up on the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man shall dwell in. And when you are in it, when you are plundered, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with crimson, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. You know what? Being in love with these foreign countries that are in love with foreign gods, that want Sharia law across the world, you love their money, you love their petrodollars, you love their entertaining, you love their investments in the universities, you love their investments in your political parties. Oh, man, they're just working you. They're working you, America. They're setting you up for the slaughter. And you see it in every single one of their countries. No freedom, Sharia, Islam. And they're working their way into Europe. And they're working their way into America. And they play us good cop, bad cop. We're the good Muslims, they're the bad Muslims. Islam is Islam. And the book says to conquer the world. Let us not be fooled with Islam. I want Muslims to be saved. Amen. But I will not be duped by their belief system. You see, this is the problem with the people. Whoever had the money and the investments and the gold and all the things, oh, yeah, come on. Yeah. It's good. They're good. Yeah. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Because of this, you go against our American heritage. You rewrite our history. You cast out Christianity. You bring in secularism and humanism and evolutionism. And now we become a bunch of heathen and animals. The crime fills our streets and people are in our prisons. It's all been taken away. He says in verse 30, and when you are plundered, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with crimson and adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with pain, in vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in labor, the anguish as of her who brings forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion bewailing herself. She spreads her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Because of murderers. Man. We're creating an environment of just tremendous racial divide these days. We need our nation to be united. We're all Americans. We all love God. We all love each other. This is what we need in America, amen? All of us have to fight for this. But now we've been created a house divided. The divisions are deep now more than ever, politically. The ideologies and Satan is really working us over as a nation. This is why we need to return to God. Love your neighbor as yourself, amen? Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Chapter 5, why the coming judgment? Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know. Seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Is there anybody that will seek the truth? I will pardon her. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. The word of God is truth. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock, and they have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. They're no longer tied to God. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the desert shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. Backslidings. People who should know God, live for God, are no longer doing that. They're actually living for the world and backsliding in the ways of the world. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not God's. You know, think about this. You know, they have statistics now. So many children that have grown up in the church have left the Lord. Has the church failed? I don't believe so. I think the children have been carried away with the ways of the world and the flesh. They have forsaken the word of God. Everyone must be born again. You cannot live off the coattails of your parents. You personally must be born again of the Holy Spirit. And to be born again, it'll reflect in your life that you love the word of God. You love the truth. And you'll live for God. How shall I pardon you for this? Verse 7, your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods when I fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he, neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. And the prophets become wind, and the word is not in them. The word's not in the prophets. Thus shall it be done to them. The prophets should be proclaiming the word of God, but they're not. They're proclaiming all kinds of other stories. Today in the church, we have motivational speakers instead of Bible teachers. We need Bible teachers that will declare the truth, that will correct and counsel and help us to grow in the word of God. Jesus said, you're to be my disciples. You're not to be motivational speakers. This is what we're to do, is to teach the Bible. Amen. He says, they lied. Verse 14, therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and shall devour them. Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. And it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. You love their God so much? Go to their lands. You don't love me? I gave you this land. It's the promised land. I gave you this land. I beat your enemies. I fought for you. I delivered you. I provided for you. And what do I get in return? You leave me for foreign gods. You're going to go to them. In this judgment, though, there'll be a remnant that will repent and get right with God. And that remnant, God will preserve. You think of a Daniel and the three Hebrew brothers of his that they're in Babylon. You think of a Nehemiah and an Esther and Ezra, so on and so forth. The return back. The Bible says in verse 20, declare this, in the house of Jacob, and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. Do not fear me, says the Lord. Will you not tremble in my presence, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they war, yet they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both to the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Wow, what a lesson there is there. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap and they catch men as a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper in the right of the needy. They do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? What will you do in the end? You see, folks, we're living in the last days. Jesus says it'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus says it'll be like the days of Noah. Now listen, you are the most hopeful people on planet Earth. You know exactly what's going to happen, right? You know the end of the story. You know your future. We know that the Lord is coming for us soon. We know we're going to go to heaven, be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's going to reward us forever and ever and ever. We know we're going to return to the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. We know we're going to reign as kings and priests on the earth with our Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. We know after the 1,000-year period, we're going to head off not to the great white throne judgment of God, but we're going to head off to the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And by the way, the moment you get raptured, you get the brand new body. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know the story. Now, what is our goal? Our goal is to save as many people as possible. I want to save Muslims. I want to save Hindus. I want to save Buddhists. I want to save homosexuals. I want to save lesbians. I want to save anyone that's had an abortion. Amen? Amen. You see, we want to save heterosexual sinners. Yes? Amen. Amen. We want to save all people. That's our goal. Because Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the nations and preach the gospel. That's called good news. Everybody can repent. Everybody can get saved. Everybody can go to heaven. And God wants to use you tonight, tomorrow, throughout the week, through the month. He wants you to reach your family, your friends, your coworkers, the person in the marketplace, a person across the world, through the internet. Whatever it takes, man, whatever it takes, to the mission field, God wants to use us in these last days. I thought I'd get to chapter 6. I talked too much. Anyway, we'll pick it up next week. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. This is powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. As we look to our own nation, how far we have fallen from who you are and what you have done. There was a time where the major textbook in our schools was the Bible. And prayer was not scowled upon. The name of Jesus was lifted up on high. God was adorned. How things change. But you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Thank you that you're going to speak to our hearts. You're going to change our lives. We want to be people of love, people of life, and people of light. Yes. So may you use us this week and that way, Lord. We're here to judge no man. You're the judge. We're here just to preach the gospel of salvation. May you anoint us and use us. May you bless our precious children, Lord. And we pray for our government, they would turn back to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.